You know my question. But aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Didn't you enjoy the hymn that we just sung?
Oh, yeah.
Thank the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 7, please. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended, first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying of the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That we, and this is our text, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Last Sunday, you will recall, our brother Tate spoke to us about false teaching, false doctrine. And when he had finished, I said to him, you know, I've been thinking along the same lines. And so we're going to continue along those lines. False teaching. How do you test a false teacher? How do you know that he's false? How do you know that he's not speaking according to the word of God? 1 John chapter 2. The test of false teachers. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 22. Who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. You remember we spoke about the Father and the Son some time ago? The Son is as old as the Father. He's from everlasting. Now when you go home, figure out this one. The Son is as old as the Father, but he's older than his mother. That's homework. Chapter 4, please. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 2 John, please. Verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess that not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. How do you know when a man is a false teacher? What he tells you about Christ. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We know this well. verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's who he is. And anyone that says otherwise is a false teacher. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You can tell a man whether he's teaching false teaching or telling the truth by what he thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ, his opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ. "What think ye of Christ?" is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is believed or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Some take him to be a creature, a man, or an angel at most. But they have not feeling like me, nor know themselves richer than lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I dare not confide in his blood, nor in his protection rely, unless I was sure he's God. What think ye of Christ? That's the test of a false prophet. The soldiers saw in Christ a criminal. The woman at the well, a benefactor. The disciples saw blighted hope. The first thief saw a malefactor. The second thief saw a king. The centurion saw divinity. The priest saw an impostor. The angel saw love. Jehovah saw a son. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? If we have Christ, we have everything. Without Christ, we have nothing. You can be happy without money, liberty, parents, friends, if you have Christ. If you do not have Christ, money, liberty, parents, friends cannot make you happy. Christ with a chain is liberty. You remember Paul and Silas in jail? Christ without anything is riches. All things without Christ is poverty. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the test of a false prophet. Who is this Son of God? Hebrews chapter 1, we read that he is the brightness of God's glory. Oh, don't bother to turn to it. He is the irradiated beauty of God. He's the outshining of God. He's the radiant glory of God. He's the reflection of God's glory. He's the emanation of God's glory. You know the one I like best? He's the exact copy of God. That's who he is. And anyone that feels otherwise is a false teacher. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? The other test, what they think of the word of God. Deuteronomy, please, chapter 4, verse 2. Deuteronomy, chapter 4.
Verse 2.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye take away aught from it. We are not to add to the word. We're not to take away. Chapter 12. Verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. God says what he means, and he means what he says, and we are not to alter the word of God. Proverbs 30. False prophets add or subtract from the word of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee. Book of the Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22. Verses 18 and 19. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. How do you test a false prophet, a false teacher? What he thinks of Christ, what he thinks of the word of God. We are not to add or subtract from the word of God. Now, you know, in music, we have what you call altered chords. We have a number of musicians here. You know what I mean. You take one note, just one note out of a whole chord, and advance it just a half a tone, not a whole tone. Or you reduce it a half tone. Altered chord. And you know they make the music sound good? Why, in the hymns that we sang today, I heard a lot of altered chords. They sound real good. Now, that's all right for music. But don't alter the word of God. Don't add to the word of God. We must adjust our thinking to what God says, and don't try to make the word say what we think. Genesis chapter 2. Altering the word of God. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. In the day thou eatest thereof, you're going to die. Now chapter 3, verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. Who's right? Altering God's word. Adding to God's word and subtracting from God's word. False teachers. 1 Kings chapter 21. Verse 1. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, near the place of Ahab, near the palace, of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahaz spoke unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee a better vineyard. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord. Bye, bye, bye. He's introduced the Lord. The Lord forbid. Was he right or was he wrong? Trace it back in the book of Numbers, the book of Leviticus, and you'll find that the inheritance was to remain in the family. Naboth said, I can't do it. It's against the law of God. Now, you know the rest of the story. Well, let's read a little. Verse 4. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he was right. The inheritance was not to be given away. It was to remain in the family. He laid him down upon his bed. My, my. Imagine the king. Laid him down upon his bed, turned his face away, and would eat no bread, like a spoiled child. Grown man. King. Such behavior. Jezreel, his wife, came to him and said, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said, because I spoke unto Naboth the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread. Let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth. The Lord said it was not to be transferred. She said, I'm going to give it to you. And she went ahead and arranged for Naboth to be killed and took the vineyard. Acting contrary to the word of God. You know, we had another example right here at Sunday school. Acting contrary to the word of God. There is a man, Barclay is his name. If any of you have his books, throw them away. Now I have his books, and I haven't thrown them away. But I have them in a special file. Our brother just called our attention to the feeding of the 5,000. We just read it, didn't we? How the Lord took those few fishes and those loaves and divided them and fed. Barclay says that was no miracle. I'll tell you what really happened. Now, this happened 2,000 years ago, and today he's going to tell us what happened. Mr. Barclay said, I'll tell you exactly what happened at the feeding of the 5,000. There was one little boy there, and when he opened his lunch, he saw that the boy next to him had no lunch, and he shared his lunch with the boy next to him. And when all the people saw the kindness of the boy, they shared their lunch with the 5,000. I'd be afraid to say that. But that's what a false prophet today is saying. Altering the word of the living God. Adding to the word of the living God. Transferring the word of the living God. What think ye of Christ? Some say he's just another man. That won't do. Unless one regards him and knows him as the Son of God, you're wrong. What about the Word of God? Don't alter it and don't change it. If you interfere with the word of God, you do harm to yourself. Counterfeits. Do you know there are many counterfeits in the world today? Oh, I have such a long list here. Don't try to copy this. I'll just read for you. False pens, false visions, false dreams, false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false brethren, false Christ, false ways, false knowledge, false lips, false tongues, false diviners, and false witnesses. And they're in the world. By the way, they're right here in the United States. And you know where you want to find them? Go to the biggest churches, not this little place like ours. That's where you'll find the false teachers. The false teachers. Who is Christ? Adding and adjusting the word of God to suit themselves. Would you believe it? I'm about finished. False teachers are to be recognized by their attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ and by what they do and say concerning the Word of God. They take the Word of God and change it to suit themselves. And we have many of them in the world today. Who is Christ? Just another man. False teachers. As I said, I'm about through. But what we must do, beloved, is hold to the everlasting word. I'm going to ask you to turn to four scriptures with me. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the word of our God shall stand forever. This book stands forever. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Verse 33. Luke 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. How do you like that, beloved? The book you're holding in your hand will not pass away. The heavens and the earth are going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but this book remains, and I'm holding it in my hand. How does that make you feel? Holding in my hand something that will never pass away. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. One final thought. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 22. Change that. The word of God will not pass away. And beloved, thank God that you have it and hold it in your hand. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. Hilkiah the priest said unto Shaphan the scribe. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, now notice please, mark it if you want to. I have found the book. Mark that, the book of the law. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Verse 10. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah gave me a book. What's wrong? What's wrong? The Bible is the book. It's not a book. You remember Sir Walter Scott? The believer. He was in his library surrounded by books. His nephew came into the room and he said, Nephew, bring me the book. His nephew said, Uncle, you have so many books around here. Which one do you want? And his uncle said, there is only one book. The book. Beloved, you're holding it in your hand. Do you cherish it? I'm through. Oh, what is the number of the hymn? 220. Standing on the promises of God. Now, just before we sing that, I'm going to ask you to look at certain scriptures with me. This is a different subject. Acts chapter 15, verse 25. Acts chapter 15. This is a different subject. Verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men with you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Romans chapter 16. Beloved. Romans chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. Greet Amphila, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Syctes, my beloved. First Corinthians chapter 4. Beloved. First Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17. For this cause I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved. You notice, I'm emphasizing one word, beloved. Oh, let's look at the, I have several here. Just look at, with me. Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Colossians 4 and verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother. Verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother.
Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. And you know we have a beloved brother with us. Don't look so surprised. We have present with us a beloved brother and his beloved wife, Brother George. We're so glad to see you. So glad that the Lord has allowed you to be with us. Beloved, you are beloved. We love you. And our prayer is that the Lord will strengthen you and return you to former health. Both of you, well beloved. God bless you. Now shall we sing our hymn, Standing on the Promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the Word of God. Standing on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God.